Okay, good morning, everyone. Hope everyone is well. Parshas, we just read this week's parsha, was Parshas Kisetze. We did have an entire chumisher dedicated to the parsha. It is posted on YuTorah, so we're not going to get into too much on the parsha. I just want to leave everyone with a thought that that occurred to me. I actually heard a good bulk of this. I heard from Rabbi Radinsky. He said this point, but I think it's worth mentioning for all of us. In the Parshas Kisetze, we read about a Ben Soira Umayra. We read about an out of control child, a wild youth, a kid at risk, where the Torah basically describes this child, and the Torah says that this child is destined to live a life of chayiv. He's destined to have a life of bad things and ultimately get killed. So it's kedai, it's worth it to kill him now when he's young. Yomo zakev al yomos chayiv. Let him die young. Let him die in the early ages, stages of his life. He's only 13 and a few months. It's better that he die now than he dies later. However, the Gemara has a discussion whether or not a Ben Soira Umayra ever existed in Jewish history. Did it ever happen? Was there ever such a case of a child who was a Ben Soira Umayra? Was it ever on the books such a situation? The Gemara has an opinion that it never happened. There was never such a child that was this who got punished. So the Gemara asks, so why does the Torah record it? So the Gemara tells us, it's recorded for us to learn it and for us to study. So obviously the question is, we have plenty to study. There is so much of Torah for us to learn. There is endless amounts of learning we can do. If there was one less parsha, I'm sure we would not be bored. None of us would be twiddling our thumbs. What exactly does this mean? So I believe the answer is that the idea of the Ben Soira Umayra, even if it never happened, there is a very, very essential message for all of us to learn from the Ben Soira Umayra, and it's specifically this time of the year in the month of Elul, as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah, I think we learn the message perhaps even clearer. And I believe there's two very strong messages that we can learn from the Ben Soira Umayra. One is brought up by Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita. Chaim Kanievsky makes the following observation. The Gemara tells us that in order for a Ben Soira Umayra to happen, it has to be that his mother and his father have the exact same sound of voice. It says in the Pasuk, V'lo yishma b'kol avivu v'kol imoy. So the Gemara says, mother and father have to have the exact same pitch and sound of their voice. Now we all know that's basically impossible for a man and a woman to sound alike. The Gemara says, if the man sounds like a lady, that means he's probably a sris, he can't have children. If a lady sounds like a man, she probably can't have children either. So the Gemara says it's impossible. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the message of this is perhaps different. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the message about the sound of the mother and the sound of the father is that in chinuch we have to be making sure that as parents we're relaying the same message to our children. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, if a child is raised in a home where mom says you can do X and dad says you can't do X, then the child is going to grow up to be a Ben Soira Umayra. But writes Reb Chaim Kanievsky, it's not his fault. He's being brought up in an unhealthy environment. He's being brought up in an environment where he's getting mixed messages on how he's supposed to be raised. You can't have the father tell the son, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and the mother says, no, that's okay, no problem. Parents have to be unified on their hashkafic messages to their children. Because if the children don't get a unified message, they are not going to get any message. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes, he says, and if a child comes in such a relationship, it's not his fault that he goes off the derech. What do you want from the kid? He gets such conflicting messages at home. And we often mention that children are very, very bright, they're very smart, and they pick up on these things. They realize that mom says it's okay to do this, and dad says I can't do that. What's going on over here? You have to be a unified team. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, for the success of our children, we have to make sure that husbands and wives are on a unified team. We both agree that this is not right, and this is okay. You know, obviously there's always in any relationship, the mother and father is going to be a slightly good cop, bad cop, and you know which parent you can kind of twist their arm a little bit more. But from hashkafic standpoint, it can't be that mom has one set of standards and dad has another set of standards. It's not healthy. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, it will not work. And often people tell me, you know, like, the husband's makban al chav yisrael, and the wife's not makban al chav yisrael. So when the kids go out with the wife, they get to eat karvel ice cream. When they go out with the father, they have to eat, you know, the chav yisrael ice cream. I don't think that's such a good idea. I think that's very confusing to the children. They don't get it. They don't understand what's going on over here. Do we keep chav yisrael? Don't we keep chav yisrael? It's a very confusing message. My children always ask me if we keep chav yisrael. I tell them yes. They say, we have edies. That's because I hold that's Chav Yisrael. That's good for Chav Yisrael. I hold that has a status of Chav Yisrael. Ayin Ramosha Begris, which we've spoken so many times about. That's also confusing. They get very confused when I tell them that also. But in any case, we have to be at least a unified team as parents, that we have the same ideologies. We want the same thing from our children. We can't have one parent. And this is sadly very often an issue in many relationships, when an orphan in life, sometimes we'll call the midlife crisis, is one spouse will get very, very frum, and the other's not there yet. And then the children very often fall in the crack between the cracks because one parent is all the way one way and the other parent is not there yet, and they're just very confusing messages to the children. So it says Reb Chaim Kanevsky, if you want to have atzlocha with your children, you have to make sure the kol aviv and kol nima is the same. Not the sound of the voice, but the content of the voice. The messages that the parents are giving over have to be unified. Mom and dad have to have the same wants and wishes for their children. We want you to grow up to be this way. We want you to go to this school. We want you to go to this camp. We want you to hang out with these friends. It can't be mom wants me to hang out with one group of friends and dad wants me to hang out with another group of friends. The child gets very, very mixed messages. But there's another vart over here, which I think is very important, perhaps even more so for the month of Elul. And this I heard from Rabbi Radinsky in the name of Rabbi Eliel Apian. Rabbi Eliel Apian pointed out, you know what the flaw of the Ben Sayre Meir is? So we think the flaw of the Ben Sayre Meir is, and Rabbi Aaron Kotler actually says this, that he's addictive. It's addictive behavior. He's addicted to stealing. He's addicted to fancy food. He's addicted to wine and meat. He has an addiction. And again, as we spoke about in the Chumash this week, Baruch Hashem and Klai, so we have people that can help with addictions. Today, addiction doesn't mean you're done. We don't ride you off because you have an addiction. Baruch Hashem, we have fantastic organizations in Klai, so that work with adults and children and teenagers who have addictions, whatever the addiction may be. But Rabbi Eliel Apian said, it's not the pshat that he has an addiction and he's a Baal Taiva. The problem with the Ben Sayre Meir is he doesn't listen to anyone. Einenu shemeya b'koleinu. He doesn't listen to anyone. He doesn't listen to mom, he doesn't listen to dad, he doesn't listen to his teachers, he doesn't listen to the doctor, he doesn't listen to anyone. Said Rabbi Eliel Apian, that problem is a recipe for disaster. If a person lives his life with, I don't listen to anyone, I know better than everyone. I don't want to hear from anyone. I know everything. I am the smartest. I am the brightest. No one could ever point out my flaws. Said Rabbi Eliel Apian, that's the Ben Sayre Meir's flaws. And I believe that's a message we can all learn from. We all have a little bit of that in us. We think we know everything. We're the smartest thing that was ever existed. We know better than everyone. We're smarter than everyone. We know better than the doctors. And we know better than the rabbi. And we know better than the educator. We know everything. Says the Torah, that is a very, very bad attitude. You don't want to listen to anyone. You don't want to take advice, and more so even criticism from anyone, because you're smarter than everyone. If a person is not willing to be open to hear what other people have to say, he is destined for disaster. The most successful people in the world are those that are willing to listen to what others have to say. You might disagree, you might not agree, but you have to at least listen to them, hear them out, because you can gain a lot from hearing the other side, even if you don't agree with the other side. But you have to be able to listen. We live in a political world today where there's one, you know, the two sides don't even want to listen to each other. They yell and scream at each other and they curse each other. No one wants to listen. You have to be willing to listen. You might gain something. I'm not saying you can't gain. Mishnah Avos, Ezo Chacham, Aloymi Mikolad. You can learn from everyone. Well, you know what that means? You can learn from anyone. You can learn how to improve from anyone. Even small children and maybe people not as smart as you and people not as big time as you, they all have what to share. They could perhaps give you insight that can improve your life and make you a better person. But the problem with Ben Sayre Meir was he was locked down. He didn't want to hear from anyone. I don't want to hear. My parents don't know anything. My educator, I don't know. No one knows anything. And I think we're all guilty of this midah every so often. We're all sometimes guilty of we just don't want to hear what anyone else to say. I don't care. I think this is right. And that's what it's going to be. And that's it. We lock everyone out. But as we approach the month of Elul and we're looking for ways to improve, I think we have to be much more open to hear what others have to say. You know, the more we listen to other people's opinion, of course, there are always going to be those nunniks, those Dreykov people who have nothing productive to say, and they just want to get that off their chest to make you nuts. Of course, I'm not saying you're not going to deal with those people. But occasionally you'll meet people that really just genuinely have a good point to point out, but because we're so defensive right away, we don't even want to hear it. Right away we jump to defend ourselves and we don't even want to hear what they have to say. They say over a story with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish used to take walks throughout the day for his health. And he was once walking past the farm, and the farmer didn't know who the Chazon Ish was, and he said, Rabbi, why are you taking so many walks? Shouldn't you be learning? Sit down and learn something. Don't waste your whole day taking a walk. So the Chazon Ish said respectfully, okay, thank you very much, and he continued on his way. It happened again, where the farmer, kind of rebuked the Chazon Ish and said, why are you not learning? Learn something. So the Chazon Ish asked the farmer, what should I learn? So the farmer said to the Chazon Ish, say Tehillim, learn Tehillim. The farmer thought this guy was an Amoritz, so he'll be a Tehillim Zogar, let him say some Tehillim. So the Chazon Ish said, okay. Years later, this farmer had a child who had a medical issue, and the parents weren't sure what to do. And someone advised the farmer that there's a great rabbi in Bnei Brak named the Chazon Ish. Go seek out his counsel, ask him what to do. So the fellow's waiting online to come see the Chazon Ish. He had no idea who the Chazon Ish was. He finally gets to the Chazon Ish and he sees the Chazon Ish was this man that he rebuked for not learning enough Torah. And there wasn't a hole deep enough for this man to bury himself. And he was so embarrassed about what happened. So the Chazir says to the man, he says, I want you to know I have a lot of akaras atayif to you. Because you told me that I should start learning Tehillim. And I haven't yet, I didn't find the time to properly study Tehillim the right way. And because you told me, I started to learn Tehillim and I started to learn it B'iyan. And I'm very grateful, thank you so much for pointing out that I should be learning more Tehillim. Now, we all know the Chazanish could have blown this guy off and said, listen, I'm the Chazanish. I learn 22 hours a day. I'm the Gadol Hadar. But he took what this guy had to say with some form of credence, even though he could have easily had a rebuttal and a defense and a tie-in and a claim. You know, he didn't. I mentioned that last Friday I got a phone call from someone from Eretz Yisrael that he had a tie-in on something that I said in a shir. Not a halachic psak, but a certain story that I said over. And he was very upset. Respectfully, but he was upset. And I'm listening to him talk, and I'm right away thinking to myself, I have a great defense. Like, he's got nothing on me. I'm totally in the clear. And then I stopped. I said, it's not worth it. Let's take it. And I took it. I said, you're right. Thank you. I appreciate you. And I learned from it. And certain stories I'm not going to say over. I'm going to be more careful what I say over because, you know, people do listen. You know, so often our initial thing is to get defensive and say, what are you talking about? Well, no. Take it. Yes, thank you. I'll improve. It was a mistake. It's such a better outlook in life. It's such a healthier outlook in life. And that's the way we become better people. If every time someone points out our flaw, our first initial action is defend, we will not grow. We will not improve. We will not become better. And sadly, we're going to fall into the trap of the Ben Sayyid Rimer. So again, I think it's very true in relationships. You know, when our spouses point out our flaws, right away we want to be like, yeah, but you did that. Okay, that doesn't get us anywhere. That doesn't work on your flaws. And even children, you know, sometimes our children... You know, our children are our biggest bali musar because they chap all our flaws. You know, they'll yell at us when we're on our phone too much, and they'll yell at us when we do this. And like very often, we just brush it off because, oh, they're kids. What do they know? But sometimes they have good observation. They have good auras in noticing our shortcomings. That they're very astute and they're very aware of what we do, and they make good observations. You know, I mentioned last Tuesday night in the halacha share that you know when I have a cold, I try not to drink from the cup of wine and I pour it out. So Friday night, I had a little bit of a cold, and right after I made Kiddush, my daughter said to me, she said, I don't understand. You said in the shir Tuesday night that when you have a cold, you pour out, and tonight you drink from the cup. I said, thank you, you're 100% right. I totally forgot. I mentioned it in the shir, and I didn't keep it. I totally was an oversight. I forgot, you're right. And Shabbos day, I made sure to pour out into the cup. So like, you know, very often we just brush off, like, oh, what are you talking about? You're a little kid, you don't know anything, you know, welcome to the, you know. All these excuses we could say, but you know what? If we want to become better people, we have to be willing to open up our ears a little bit. I'm not saying this is gives everyone the permission to go over to you and complain to you about all your flaws and all your problems. And you know, you shouldn't have friends stopping you and giving you an hour drush on all the things you need to improve. And you have to take it because the rabbi said you got to listen to other people's and mussar. Obviously, is within a certain amount of normalcy and it has to be done with very sensitively. You have no permission just to race on people and yell and scream at them because you have to get it off your chest. But it's lishma, you know, with seichel. But you know, I think very often we always get into the defense mode when point out our flaws and it doesn't get us very far. Okay, let's Beli Neder. Beli Neder today should be the last shir on Katlonis. I apologize if the last couple of shir maybe weren't as lomnish as you're used to. I apologize for that. I thought this was a Geshmaka topic. I thought it was interesting. I thought it had some lumdish to it as well. But if it wasn't lumdish enough for your taste, I do apologize. I will try to make it more lumdish next year, if that's even a word. But in any case, I apologize if the shiurim weren't the caliber that you've been expecting. I don't know, maybe a raise will help. I don't know, not sure. But in any case, we will get back to the sugya Blina the next week. Okay, I just want to finish up Katlonis, because I think it's an interesting idea. We learned last week a big chiddush from the Tshuva Sarash. The Rosh had a chiddush and had to learn the Gemara. We had a Gemara that says two reasons why a katlonis is a problem. One reason is because mayan gorim, for some reason living with this woman causes some internal infection that causes men to die. And the Gemara, another pshat, mazal gorim, her luck is lousy. She has bad luck with men, and every man that comes in her direction seems to die. We mentioned the Tshuva Sarash as a snapshot in the Gemara. The Tshuva Sarash says, mazal gorim doesn't mean that she has bad luck and her luck causes men to die. Mazel Garam means that she has bad luck, that she's going to be broke. Says the Rosh, Mazel Garam, your mazel can't cause people to die. Mazel Garam only means that you can affect your own mazel, that you won't have good parnasa. Therefore, says the Tshuva Sarash, Mazel Garam means that she has bad luck, and any man that was supposed to support her, that comes down the road, she ends up dying, and therefore she's destined to be poor for the rest of her life. That's how the Tshuva Sarash learned Mazel Garam. So we said, Lefize, you can answer Rashi and Yevamis, why Rashi and Yevamis says that Mazel Garam makes sense even by Gerushin. So we spoke by Richas about that. That was a Shtekel Lomdish, for those that were seeking more Lomdish in last week's Shir. Now, the Neid of Yehuda has a tshuva, where the Neid of Yehuda Taka says that based on this tshuva Sarah, she passes Allah l'maisa. At least theoretically, says the Neid of Yehuda, if you'd have a situation where you have a woman who lost two husbands and now she has her own job, he writes she's not supported by her father. She's self-supported. She went to college. She has a degree. She makes a lot of money. Says the Neid of Yehuda, according to that rush, you would not call her a katlanis. So that's a very big halacha l'maisa. Says the Neid of Yehuda, he's taking this rush, not only for hashkafik, but halacha l'maisa. And therefore, paskin the Neid of Yehuda, he says, I'm not so convinced without other rabbanim agreeing to me, but he says, you know, in theory, I think that if a lady has her own job, which again, very negated today, Baruch Hashem, many, many women have very good jobs, some of them better than the men, they're very self-sufficient, they don't need the husband for the money. Zok the Neid of Yehuda, if that's the case, she no longer is a katlanis. Why? Because mazel garam doesn't mean that she causes husbands to die. Mazel garam means she's destined to have bad parnosa, but she's not destined to have bad parnosa. She's been raking in for the last 5 years, so therefore paskin the Neid of Yehuda, that if a lady has her own job, she would not be considered a katlanis. If you look over here, number 16 on the right side, there's a tshuva from Reb Chaim Berlin. We don't often quote tshuvas from Reb Chaim Berlin. Reb Chaim Berlin was the son of the Netziv. He was half-brothers to Meir Bar Ilan. Him and Meir Bar Ilan were half-brothers. They shared the same father, different mothers. They were very, the age difference, the age gap was very, very large, but they were half-brothers. So Reb Chaim Berlin was a Rav in Russia for many, many years. He was a Rav during the communists. He had a very hard time trying to keep Yidden from when it was a very difficult time. So someone said to Reb Chaim Berlin the Shaila, about a katlanis, and the Chaim Berlin paskin the following psak number 16. He writes like this. He says, first of all, there's the das and Neid of Yehuda l'hakol b'isha she eishes chayil matzlecha b'mayas yedeh. First of all, says Reb Chaim Berlin, you have the Neid of Yehuda. The Neid of Yehuda said if she has her own money, she's not a katlanis based on the rush. Bay says the Reb Chaim Berlin, das Ramban shehevi aramo b'hagol l'hakol b'misha meis b'dever. Says, you forgot the Ramah said, if a man died because of a plague or a medical issue, that also does not count as a katlanis. Because the first husband in your storyline died because of a sickness. Continued on for a whole year. It was based on the doctor. He died because of the sickness. That was like a Makas Medina. Let's say Nebuch, the guy got corona, and he lingered on for 6 months, and then he died. So Zokta B'chaim Berlin, he died from the Makas Medina. Makas Medina doesn't make you a Katlanis. Third Svara, this is interesting. Shabayil Hasheni Hayu Zokin Ben Shishm Shana. The second husband was old, he was 60. Or if he das, again, of Mordechai Benet, and according to the opinion of Mordechai Benet, Shehevi Kvoide Yesh Lahoka Gamba Ben Shishm Shiruka Zokin, Mordechai Benet held that 60 makes you old. Okay? So if you're 60, so then we mentioned that the Rishonim right already. The Beis Shmuel calls from Rishonim. That if one of the husbands died because they were old, that's not a katlanis. So what's old? So Zoktiv Mordechai Benet, 60 is old. So if either of the two husbands died because they were 60, that's not a katlanis. So they have a Zoktiv Chaim Berlin. I can put a whole peckle together over here. A, the fact is, he had the Neid of Yehuda, she's self-sufficient. B, you have the fact that he died because of a Makas Medina. C, you have the fact that the guy was old. So therefore, Zoktiv Chaim Berlin puts in a nice package. I have three reasons to be matured. So these are very, very practical heterim that Reb Chaim Berlin is using to whether or not you can be matur a katlanis. Okay. Now the truth is, we'll see in a second that Rav Moshe Feinstein wasn't so keen on this heter of Rav Mordechai Benet, that a 60-year-old is considered a zakin. Now,
what type of death would qualify as a katlanis?
Something like a sudden, something abnormal thing. Not like something...
Like a heart attack? I mean, now we basically know why people die.
Oh, very good. So we're going to talk about that also. Like, today a heart attack is because the guy's arteries are clogged. I guess it would be something that is unexplained, just out of the blue. A healthy guy just drops dead. Today they call them aneurysms and other types of Nebuch stories like that. That would probably be something that would fit the criteria. Now, if you look over here, I found the sefer number 16, Or Yisrael, one of these journals about a Rav in England. He was asked the following shayla, number 16. And I put it down because I want to disagree with a couple of the points that he makes. And I think based on the way we learned the sugya, I think we have some valid tainas on his arguments. He writes like this, shayla. Ba'alafane alman va'almana. Says, I have a couple came in front of me, a alman va'almana. The man was widowed and she was a widower. Sha'alman hiskim lisa es almana. The alman wants to marry the widower. The noida lo sho'isha almana hoyola balarishan shifta bidme yamav. She already lost one husband. First husband died when he was young. The kids also didn't survive. Then they married a second husband. We had very nice 5-6 years together. We're great. He died suddenly from a heart attack. This is the story. He was 63 at the time of the heart attack. So the question presented to this Rav is that imhi b'chal katlanos v'achmanatlan, is this woman now a katlanos? The question is, can she marry the third man? So she had one husband who died very young. She had a second husband who died at 63 from a heart attack. Okay, 63 from a heart attack. So right away, the first thing that should start running in your mind is Reb Chaim Berlin. Reb Chaim Berlin quotes from Amot Chabanet that 60 is already old. So 60 is old, 63 is older. So L'chairish, she's already, he's a Zaki. So if he's a Zaki, it doesn't count towards the list. Now, what would be our way of thinking in the Shaila? How would we think about the Shaila? So first thing we think about is the Rambam and the Tshuva. The Rambam and Tshuva, the Rambam and Peirador, the Rambam basically thinks that this whole thing is a far-fetched chashash. He doesn't really believe it's asr to marry a katlan. So he really thinks that it's a far-fetched chashash. The Rambam wasn't convinced. Strictly speaking, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it's also. We saw the Ritva said it's also because it's Pashat setting yourself up for Misa. So listen to what this Rav writes. I forgot his name, but he writes something interesting. He writes, my initial thought was, Zakin kiben samach. I thought that Zakin is already 60. Mishnah says in Ovis, 60 is Kena. But he writes, no, Chassam Soifer says he's got to be 70. He didn't have this Ramot Chabanet that Reb Chaim Berlin quoted, but we have a Ramot Chabanet who was a contemporary of the Chassam Soifer, was a little older than the Chassam Soifer, but he was one of the great Gedolim of that time. He held 60. The Chassam Soifer said 70. Okay, he writes, Avo Reisi Achakach Mishav Shuas Avninezer Evanezer Simon Memhe Shukasiv Shishim. So now we go to another sheet that says 60. Avninezer said 60. Maybe Meha Mishnah Ovis Kimashah Marti, he brought the Mishnah Ovis like I said. But Samachti Ban, I was very happy to see that I was Machavin to Avninezer. Umasik Shaman, he says, Asha Afi Mesirisha Michaeli Achar Achsha Sheni Mesilacha Shayla Shishim Shana Shalom. Maybe it's at least Lenim Chabiyodis. He says, even though the first husband might have really died, the first husband was Katlanis, but Katlanis is not one, Katlanis needs to be two. And since the first husband was Katlanis, the second husband was old age, she's not a Katlanis. Chem Shah Chus Masham, Havi Bishem Shah Chus Parashas Mordcha, Hixit Behetish Adizokin Gam Bishishim Shana. Okay, so he thought one heter to be mad to this lady is the fact that the husband was 60. Fine. And then he draws up a very interesting calculation, which Mechilas Kvoida, I don't understand. He writes it this. Imkein hocho yesh kama sveikas lehetet. I have a bunch of reasons why I'm going to be mad at this woman to marry this man. Why? Shema halocha kim Shimon Gamliel. Maybe the halocha is like Shimon Gamliel. And according to Shimon Gamliel, you need to have 4 times, not just 3 times. Ubefrat lahabi poiskim dekadina kim Shimon Gamliel, the shlishi tinase. Now, 1 second. Why would you say that? Didn't the Gemara Paskin? Didn't the Gemara say that when it comes to Katlanis, we go this way? When it comes to Sharamud, we go the Gemara Paskin. It's not a Suffolk. So we spoke about this when we learned the Sugya. When the Gemara said that when it comes to Katlanis, we follow Rav Shimon Gamliel, we follow Rebbe, and when it comes to the other things, was that a Psak? Or was that merely a Suffolk? He's assuming that that wasn't a Psak. He's assuming that was the Gemara's way of saying we're Machmir. So he wants to argue. So it's far to Suffolk. It's still a Suffolk. So if it's still a suffix, so maybe you can tie it, maybe it's, the halakha is not like that. We didn't learn the Gemara that way. We didn't learn the Gemara that the Gemara was saying it's only psak like that, me suffix. We learned the Gemara was achra, the Gemara paskin. Then when it comes to Katlanis, we go 3 times, we go 2 times. And when it comes to Sharamud, we go 3 times. And when it comes to Vestas and Eidah, we go 3 times. We thought that was a psak. He wants to suggest that the Gemara didn't learn it, it was a psak, but the Gemara was really learning it more as a achra, as a suffix. Okay. And then he writes, another tsnif lahakel, let's sniff letzav, she doesn't know the Behuda. Don't forget the Neid Yehuda. What did Neid Yehuda say? The Isha Shiesh Le Parnosa, if a lady has her own job, Leishayach Mazal Agara. Okay, that I'm okay with. That's a valid Snif Lahakal. The first Snif Lahakal I'm debating on. I'm not sure how you learn the Gemara. If you learned the Gemara was a Hachra, or the Gemara was just a Machmim and a Safik. That's his Sniff Lahakal 1. Sniff Lahakal 2 is the Neidib Yehuda. I'm okay with the Neidib Yehuda of Adar. Reb Chaim Berlin quotes the Neidib Yehuda. Pesach Tshuva quotes the Neidib Yehuda. The Neidib Yehuda, I think, is, we'll see Reb Moshe talks about it, but that's the a very good Sniff Lahakal. And what's his last one? The other svar is what we saw in the Taz. The Taz said, because Doshu Bei Rabbim, everyone's Mekel, so you can just be Mekel. And therefore he writes at the end, he thinks there's room to be Mekel. Okay, fine, perhaps. But is it true of an Igris Moshe? Now we always speak about Rav Moshe's godless as a Poisek, which of course it was. But Rav Moshe's godless as well was as an unbelievable Lamdin. For those of us that can handle a full Dibris Moshe, and or going through an entire Ha'ara of Rav Moshe, he was a fantastic Lamdin, an unbelievable Lamdin. So Rav Moshe writes like this in the Tshuva. He was asked a similar Shaila, number 17. This, I believe, this Shaila was sent him in 1960. The Dovah Ha'isha Shebal Rishon Nis. The first husband died. Kiba Yoyma. In his time. Ubal Hasheni Nofal. Who wants to take a shot at that word? Everyone's muted, I'm sorry, okay. Belumber yard. He fell in a lumber yard. Okay? Umeis, and he died. The Echad writes Elisa, I said, now Baruch Hashem, she found a shidduch, someone wants to marry her. But the Shoyal Tainud. So, see, it's interesting, Rav Moshe works backwards. We don't have what the Shoyal wrote to Rav Moshe. The Shoyal wrote to Rav Moshe that he has a whole list of reasons why he thinks this lady is not a Katalanis. And Rav Moshe is just going to give a rebuttal to all them. So we'll find out the backwards way what his argument was. But it's not clear from the tshuva. He doesn't tell us, and the shoyal doesn't tell us what his rebuttal was. But this fellow who sent the tshuva to Rav Moshe, he has a whole reasons of why he thinks the lady can get remarried. So the first reason is he tanned to Rav Moshe, the husband was old. So Rav Moshe writes back, the first group of lines, he writes, Beheter echad masha echad mi baleo hayuzokin, your argument of one of the husbands were old, hine loy boru lonu me'ezer shonim nechshav zokin. Says Rav Moshe, I'm not sure what's considered old. Rav Moshe wasn't sure. Rav Moshe wasn't convinced what constitutes old. Even though we saw Rav Moshe Benet and the Avnei Nezer and the this and the other, Rav Moshe wasn't convinced what constitutes old. Then, the argument was next, number 18. Umashikasa ba'oiz beiz, you made another argument. You made the same argument as we saw in the Maran Malkin before. You wanted to tie it that since it only happened two times, so two times is only Machloikis Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. So even though we're Machmi, but maybe we can make it for Reb Shimon Gamliel. So Reb Moshe wrote back, Ba'oiz Beit Zishlishi, number 18, Zishlishi who rak Safik, Shash, Mishum, the Ef Shalach, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Hini Be'etzem Utmua. Frek, Reb Moshe, you're a Pella. The Oma Be'gemarin Esuun Umalkis Kerebi. Mashma Dehu Bechod Amachta. It's a Psach. V'chihecha de Malkis Halacha Kerebi. Just like by Malkis we follow Rebbe. Medin vadai, it's not a suffix, it's a vadai. The ahu l'chumra, because of there comes out of chumra. B'nafshay shemistapik halukula. K'moy kein hu b'nesun, halacha k'rebi medin vadai. V'loy rak mishum shirotz l'hachmim b'sakant. So we're mechamed to Rav Moshe. Says Rav Moshe, that's not pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara didn't mean we're passing that two times a kavalon is m'chumra m'safik. It's a psak, it's on the books, goes both ways, b'in l'kula, b'in l'chumra. So Rav Moshe didn't think that that's a fair argument. You can't tell me that the reason why after two times she's not a katalon is because maybe we pass like Reb Shimon Gamliel only three times. But we don't. The Gemara picked sides. The Gemara said we pass like Rabbi that after two times you're a katalon. So that argument that we saw in the previous Maran Malkin is very, very troubling. The way, again, it's just telling how you learned the Gemara. If you learned the Gemara was a psak, or you learned the Gemara was a machmir. But Rav Moshe seemed to learn the Gemara the way we learned the Gemara, that it was a b'teras psak, not b'teras saf. Then the fellow tied something else to Rav Moshe. He wants to tie it to Rav Moshe. That maybe if there's children, it changes the playing field. Maybe if there are children born from the two wives, from the two husbands, then there's no din of meso of katlonis. When Moshe writes back, he said, "Number 19 says Moshe, I don't know what the reason is." So Moshe, what does that have to do with anything? What does having children or not having children have anything to do with a katlonis? So this doesn't get even to a sniff. This is nothing. Yeah, I don't know what the Shoyal wanted with that argument. The fact that children were produced, I don't know why that makes any difference. So Rav Moshe rejects that heavily. But here's where it gets lebedik. This is where Rav Moshe's godless and lumdus shines. Look at Rav Moshe number 20. Zok to Rav Moshe. V'anochel v'nizdaiti dover chodesh. Rav Moshe is going to say a gewaldige chiddush in the sugya of katalonis. A lumdus mahalach in how to understand katalonis. Zok to Rav Moshe. Avul who borrowed the mitzad mazel goram. Rav Moshe wants to tell it like this. even if you hold mazel garam, Dr. Moshe Tzorich Shloisha, you need three husbands to die, even according to Rebbe. Again, we had a machoikis, Rebbe Nim Shimon Gamliel. What creates a katlonis? Rebbe said 2 times, Shimon Gamliel said 3 times. Zokter of Moshe, no. But if you hold it, Tali Mazel Garam, then you need to have 3 husbands die. Favos, Zokter of Moshe, Daha. Kivan Shanisis Lashani, because what happened? She was married to the second husband. Adayim Lahoya Mazel Ra. She hasn't yet expressed that she has bad mazel. Why? Dare Ayala Mazainis Mashani. Because she was being supported by the second husband. Tainted of Moshe, she only had one break of being self-supported. That was between husband number one and husband number two. That was one. Now between husband number two and husband number three is going to be only 2 times where she was not supported. Therefore, what's her mazel that after many years she won't be supported? We don't see that she doesn't get fed at all. Because we saw she was supported. It was only the in-between time where she went without being supported. Between husband one and husband number two. So therefore, Zokter of Moshe, Rak she'al zman she'beini beini, im ha'yoshon o'ish nasayim, if it was a year or two between the two husbands, lo hiya lo, v'zeh harei rak pamachas. So to Moshe, that only happened once. She only had 1 time where she had bad luck between husband number one and husband number two. Then she got married to husband number two, and then she was back in business. She was being supported again. Zokter Moshe, v'domi l'zeh l'vestes haflaga. Says Moshe, this is like what we call a vest haflaga. In Hilchos Nida, one of the vests that we calculate is the vest haflaga, is the duration of time between the periods. So we say you have to have 4 periods to have 3 durations. Zokter Moshe, v'komei kin hacha. Rak b'shloisha ikabes. Zokter Moshe, you have to have 3 husbands to have 2 intervals. So Zokter Moshe Gevaldik, if you understand that mazel garam means the time that she goes without being supported, so 2 husbands doesn't prove it. You have to have 3 husbands. Gevaldik alum this from Moshe. Ah, effective Moshe. How does that read in the Ramah? It says in Shulchan Aruch after 2. Zokter Moshe, v'nistarich loymed dehoshe kasev Ramah v'nisarso loyko al shnei anoshim. It's not talking about a case of when there was 2. Elal etzem adin deikers iser katlonis gam b'meisim erisin. You have to read it like this. When is there din of katlonis after erisin? That's only if you hold mazel garam. For mazel garam, you have to have 3 times. Avo mispar hasheni, but for the number 2, pomim yeh be erisin, tafka b'shloisha. Unbelievable. Ramesha rereads the mechaber. And when the mechaber says after 2, it's not really after 2. Because you really need 3 Zokter of Moshe. Because to approve a mazel garam, you have to have 3 intervals. You can only have 3 intervals if you have another husband. So therefore, Zokter of Moshe, according to his own lamedus, he wants a taina. Maybe now, even if you hold mazel garam, according to Nadi Yehuda, you have to have 3. It's not sufficient just to have 2 husbands die. Kaval de Gechidish, from how Rav Moshe learned our Gemara of mazel garam. And then Rav Moshe addresses something.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. First of all, it's not even so much that everyone was on mute before, but once you told us that, 60 is considered old, that's it. We just passed on that.
That's it,
because, look at the age. But in any case, let me ask you, how about today? How does that come into effect with, let's say the guy doesn't, do physical work.
I'm going to get to that right now. That's Ramesh right now. But Moshe is going to address that right now, number 21. Zokter of Moshe. Vini yesh kusha gedoyla. I was waiting for someone to ask me this kasha from Rav Moshe. What's the kasha? Lemanda amar me'in garam. Frekta Moshe, 1 second. We learned the Gemara, me'in garam means that having relations with this woman causes husbands to die. Frekta Moshe, I don't get it. Daha nicha kishayu hashanim shayisim abaylam shavin. Says Rav Moshe, that only makes sense if both husbands were married for this the exact same amount of time. Shezeh chameshanim, vizeh chameshanim. They each married for 5 years. And at the end of 5 years, they both dropped dead. So now you could say there's something about her inner body that she gives off an affection that husbands die. Amina de ma'ayin shulam meimis la'achar tashmish l'chomishan. But v'mechot tayol v'echot poyol. First of all, I understand. What happens if there are 2 different husbands? Husband number one had a certain job where he only lived with his wife less frequent, and the other husband lived with the wife more frequent. So the numbers of relations were not the same. First of all, she'ein o'ino shovo. Yesh la'achshir ha'tashmishim shiu eitzel shnei abaylam shovin. So, Dimesha, how do you consider them the same? Avos shel echad hoisin nesuah chamish shanim. Ulesheni also eser shanim. Echamin and shamayin garim. Frank Moshe, how can you explain this logically? Two men were married to the same woman. One man was married to her for 10 years. One man was married to her for 5 years, and they both died from the same infection. It took one guy 10 years to get the infection. One guy 5 years to get the infection. So strange. One guy lived with her twice the amount of time. One guy lived with her half the amount of time, and they're both dying from the same thing. So the Moshe, it's so strange. Echamin and shamayin garim. Given the Eitzel Hashem, who's like Mispar Hashanim? The numbers don't work out. He didn't live with her as the same amount of time as the other guy. Ramosh is saying, Boshet, statistically, how are you supposed to understand this? And then Ramosh asks another kash. Now that we know why people die, im echad meis mi cancer. Let's say one husband dies from cancer. Ve'echad mi machalas ha'ri'ah. Right, let's say one husband dies from a heart attack, and one husband dies from cancer. So you're going to tell me that her intestines give off different infections. For one man, it gives cancer, and for one man, it gives another ailment. It doesn't make any sense, as Ramesha. He says over here, so Ramesha says, he finds these things so hard to believe. Says Ramesha, how are we supposed to understand the svara of Mayan Garam? Mayan garm to, it's a very strange thing. One husband dies from a heart attack because her Mayan gave him a heart attack. And the other husband died from cancer because she gave him cancer. It doesn't make any sense. So Rav Moshe thinks to believe that today we should really just stick with mazel garam. And the way Rav Moshe understood mazel garam.
If you go with the rush, then it doesn't matter what the person dies from. It's the point is that she shouldn't be supported.
Right, I'm saying Rav Moshe is just bringing out the point. But Moshe is bringing out the point that we don't focus on the sheet of Mayan Garam, we only focus on the sheet of Mazel Garam. And if you only focus on the sheet of Mazel Garam and you hold like the Rosh, and you go like the Noid Behuda, so we have much more room today to be Mako with a Katalanist. That's, I think, the way Rav Moshe is ending off the Sugya. Okay.
Rabbi, yes. with all due respect and not being politically correct, that's maybe shot in Mazel Garam. That this woman's a human killing machine. She kills this one from cancer,
the Rosh said there's no such Gemara anywhere in Shas that says your Mazel can kill people. The Rosh says it can't be pshat in the Gemara. The Rosh says mazel garam never means that you can kill people. Mazel garam just means you can have lousy luck, but your luck can't affect someone else. That was the Rosh's point from last week. I mean, we learned the Gemara that way. We learned mazel garam just means that you kill people. But the Rosh says there's no such Gemara anywhere in Shas that says such a comment. Okay.
So according to the Rosh, the husband...
Yes, Seth.
Go ahead.
Yeah. If the husband left a nice life insurance policy, what mazel is that? That good mazel, bad mazel?
Yeah, I'm not sure. What would the difference be if she could support herself from him? Or it's funny because the Rosh says, and she's not supported. The Noid Behuda says she's not supported by her father. I don't know why. I guess because her father's parnos, I guess, is his mazel, not her mazel. But again, if she'd be left the money in an account that's not touchable, I would think you're right.
Even if you want to say it doesn't, her mazel can't cause him to die, it only can cause her to not have parnos. But at the end of the day, it's causing her not to have parnos by having the husband die. So. It's like one step removed, but it's still causing the husband to die. So if you're rejecting the notion that somebody's mazel can cause another person to die, you can't explain it by saying parnasa either.
No,
at the end of the day, you know, but her lack of parnasa, her mazel, lack of parnasa, is resulting in somebody else dying so that she shouldn't have parnasa. So that is...
Okay, I mean the point is that...
Maybe
the Rosh's point is that the mazel garam is not the direct sibas hamisa. The mazel garam is why she's going to... And that's how we learned Rashi Yevamis, why it's shaykh even by Gerushin. Because by Gerushin she gets divorced, and she's also broke. She's also left to...
Why can't you say her mazel is... How bad mazel is that she picks people that were anyway destined to die? In other words, she picked the guy that was 25 years old that normally would have an actuarial life span until 75 or 80. But her mazel is that she picked the guy that was anyway destined to die at 30. And that's a bad mazel. So she's picking the wrong people. It didn't cause anybody to die. He was anyway going to die at 30 of a heart attack.
Maybe.
And her mazel is that instead of picking the other guy who was going to live till 90, she picked this guy who was dying at 30.
Maybe.
That's a bad mazel.
Maybe that's another way to learn the Gemara. Maybe that's the way you have to learn the Gemara. But the Rosh's point was that he doesn't believe that your luck is going to cause other people to die. Okay, I want to wrap up the sugi with one more nekuda over here.
The truth is, Rabbi, it's yes. From coronavirus. It's the same virus, and yet it affects people in different ways. People could die from respiratory. They also could die from circulatory things.
And echanami.
It's the same virus, and people die from different ways.
Right, so again, so that would be true.
What do with that?
Yeah, but again, it's hard to imagine that a lady gives an affection that causes... Again, it depends on the situation. If one guy dies from a heart attack, one guy dies from a cancer, so it's hard to explain that her body somehow caused this guy to get cancer and this guy to get a heart attack. Maybe. Rav Moshe thought it was a little bit far-fetched. Okay, I want to wrap up the sugya with one last...
Rabbi, just one question.
Yeah, sure.
Is it an Isser Arayas to live with her then?
In no. Other words, the Ritva said it's an Isser of committing suicide. The Ritva writes in Yevamos that marrying a lady who's a katlonis is committing suicide. That was the Ritva's side.
In other words, they have children. He marries, he has children. There's no pagam in the children.
Absolutely not. The children are fine. They're terrific. But he's risking his life. The Ritva held he's risking his life. Okay, the last Nakud over here, this is really from today's shir. This was last week's shir. This is new stuff. I want to talk about an interesting shayla. What would happen if a lady had two husbands, they both died, but now she falls to Yibum? Now she falls to Yibum, which we say Katlonis trumps Yibum? Or would Katlonis not allow her to marry the Yavam? What would happen now? So there's a Kesef Mishnah, number one. The Kesef Mishnah quotes the Rambam. The Rambam writes the following. Because of Oid Vizek Kulu Binasun Baalma, Zok the Rambam, this whole Katlonis Shebang is only when you're talking about regular marriages. Avo Biyavam, Mashenafel Yibam. But if Yavam fell to a Yavam, Halacha Lemaisa Bekama Noshim. It happens very often. Shekichu Oisam Nechatchila Binisyavnu. Writes the Rambam, I never saw anyone that had a problem with a Yavama marrying a Yavam, even if she was a Katlonis. Now you have to remember, this is the Rambam Lushitasai. The Rambam didn't really buy into the whole Katlonis in the first place. The Rambam thought the whole Katlonis was really out there. So to say that we're going to stop to do a mitzvah because of a far-fetched chash, that doesn't shock me. Keep that in mind. The fact that the Rambam was matir a Yavam in a matzav of Katlonis should not be any great shock to anyone. That's just the Rambam Lishitasi, because the Rambam didn't think the whole Katlonis was that all to be so concerned about in the first place. So if it's a regular marriage, no, pick a different girl. Or pick a different guy. But now you tell me I have a b'maka mitzvah, so how do you got to do the mitzvah? That was the Shitas HaRambam. The problem is we have a story in Chumash, in Parshas Vayeshev. What's the story in Parshas Vayeshev? Yehuda had two sons. They both died. And now they were left with Tamar, his daughter-in-law. So he had two brothers who died, and then there was a third brother named Shayla. So it says in the Chumash, number two, Parshat Vayeshev. Yehuda tells Tamar's daughter, Shvi Almana Beisavich. She says, Almana, she was a two-timed Almana, she lost two husbands. He told her, go home. Ad yigda Shayla bini, until my son Shayla grows up. Ki amar, because I said, Pen Yomus, maybe he will die. Gam hu kach, will die like his brothers. Tamar goes back home. So what did Yehuda tell Tamar? Did he tell her you're a Katlonis? The Chayri, he told her, and Yibam's not happening. So if Yibam's not happening, I thought there's no Katlonis be mocking Yibam. The Chayri, this story in Chumash is mefurish that Yehuda paskin, that there's no din of Yibam be mocking when there is a Shiloh of Katlonis. But it's not so simple.
Not at all. It says until he grows up.
Good, good.
Meaning right now.
Good.
Once he grows up, then there's a...
No, is this even Katlonis? The Torah says why they died.
They know why they died.
Good. That's very good. Very good. That's Rashi in the Ramban. Very good. Number three. Zok Rashi on this Pasuk. Pashas Vayeshev, Zok Rashi. Ki Omar, Kloima, Docher Oysa Bekash. He was trying to push her off. Shalei hoye bedaitei lahasi eloi. Because he never had any intention of Sheela marrying him. What's Rashi saying? That even though it sounds like in the Psukim that he was just trying to buy time till Shayla got older, says Rashi, no, he really was basically telling Tamar, get lost, I'm not giving you Shayla. Why, Dr. Rashi? Ki amar pen yamus, muchzek isi, shemusu anashel. She has a chazaka, their husbands die because of her. So they have a zok, it sounds like from Rashi, kipshuto yav Rashi in Chumash, right? Shtayim mikra from Rashi. Rashi sounds like that really Yehuda didn't want to be so blunt. He didn't want to tell her, Tamar, you're a katlanis. He wanted to be politically correct. He wanted to beat around the bush. So he gave her some cockamamie story. Oh, he's too young. He's not old enough. But really, Zok Rashi, deep down in the heart of Yehuda, Yehuda thought that she is a Katlonis, and that's why he wasn't letting her Sheila to do Yibum. Frecht and Rambam.
Did Yehuda know why they were killed?
What?
Did Yehuda know why they were killed?
Ah, so that's going to be the Ramban. So the Ramban asks, he says, one second. V'lo yadati. All of a sudden, Yehuda was shy. Yehuda was embarrassed. He didn't want to go over and tell Tamar the story. So he beat around the bush. He gave her some story about the fact that, you know, Shayla's young, ba-ba-ba. Frecht Ramban, Yehuda was a gavra rabba. He was a gadol. He says a psak. A psak is a psak. What do you mean? He had to beat around the bush? He didn't want to just tell her straight, go home. Why would he fool her? She's aser. What is this? Yehuda was being politically correct. He didn't want to hurt her feelings. He didn't want to insult her. He didn't want to tell her she's a katlanas. It's a halacha. She's a katlanas. Go home. So the Ramban says, no, that's not pshat. Zokter Ramban, v'hanochon be'enai, shahoyo sheila rol yabim. Avada not, says the Ramban. Avada sheila kurudon yibim. Avo loirotza oviv sheyabim oisoi, v'aydenu nar. He didn't want him doing it when he was younger. Why? Penyechta bo ka'ochiv. He was afraid that he's going to follow in his older brother's footsteps, and he's going to sin like his older brothers. Asher Mesu ben Ureim, who also died when they were young. Kin arim hayu, they were young. Ein le'echad mehem shteim es rishonah. Says Ramban, Yehuda had a plan over here. Yehuda said, I don't want Shayla following his two older brothers who made immature mistakes. I want him to grow up a little bit. I'm going to educate him. I'm going to give him Musar. I'm going to set him on the right path and how to live like a Jew. And then I'm going to give him to Tamar. Then he's ready to go. So the Ramban has a totally different spin on it. The Ramban's learning Avada, she's not a Katlonis. And Avada, they would have done Yibam. So why was Yehuda wasting time? Yehuda was wasting time because he was afraid that Sheila would fall into the trap of his older brothers. And he's going to sin, which is going to cause him to die. And therefore, Zakhtar Ramban, that's why he delayed the Yibam. Okay. So we have a machloikis rishayim over here to whether or not, you could argue whether or not there's a raya from the story of Yehuda and Tamar to whether or not a Yibam situation still has a matzav of katlans.
But wasn't the story in the Chumash that Shayla saw that Tamar saw that even after he got bigger, Yehuda did not let him, and that's why she went to the question.
Yeah. Okay, good.
The narrative in the Chumash.
Yep. Right. Okay. Very good. Good Kasha. Okay, so let's see if we can try to figure out what's going on over here. So let's take a look at the Noi de Behuda. Another Geshmak in Noi de Behuda, second one of the day. Says the Noi de Behuda, he was mamish asked his Shayla. The Noi de Behuda was asked his Shayla about a lady who fell Yibam after Katlonis. What do you do? Zok the Noi de Behuda Gevaldik. He writes, Vadovet Tmua, Atu Boish Hoya Yehuda Lahiris Hadin Shasur Linase Shikatlonis. Frekter, Ben the Noi de Behuda, Ramban's Kasha. But Yehuda was embarrassed to tell her that she's a Katlonis. He said like this. When something is a question of Isra, we go after Raif. But when it comes to Sakana, we don't go after Raif. Okay, he has Raias. So he writes like this. Reb Meir is the famous sheet of Chayish Lemiuta. Reb Meir was always Chayish Lemiuta. So he says like this. The Ladas Reb Meir, the Chayish Lemiuta, caught an Osli Yabim. According to Rav Meir, with Choshish Lemuta, that what? That maybe this child is a Sris. He's unable to have children. Therefore, there's no reason for him to do Yibam. El of the Kaimlik Rabbanon does Zinam Basaruba, but we go after the Rabbanon who go follow the Raiv, and most 12-year-old kids can't have children. They're not a Sris. Uba Uvda, the Tamar Shahi Shayla Katan, but in the story of Tamar where Shayla was a child, there were two issues. There was a Sakana issue. Maybe marrying Tamar was dangerous because she's a Katlonis. And the other issue was, if there's even a mitzvah in the first place, you had two Sveikas jumping around. You had one issue of maybe Safik, he's not a, Safik, he's a Sris, and therefore there's no mitzvah Yibam. Mitzad Sheni, Safik, maybe he's not a Sris, but maybe she's a Katlonis. So says the Noi de Behuda, Gevaldik. V'yeshkan Isra Eishis Ach, V'gam Sakanta de Katlonis, V'n Eino Sris, and if he's not a Sris, then what are you left with? Yesh kam mitzvah yibum. Umemela leka sakanta. Zokten Yehuda, on the side that I have a vadeh mitzvah yibum, I have no sakana. Shame me mitzvah. Mitzvahs will protect us. But I don't know if I have that, because on the side that he's a cut and he's a sris, I don't know if there's a mitzvah in front of me. So zokten Yehuda, umemela leka sakanta, vahayre Yehuda, ka alocha shetarech lahamten ayidah sheila. You know why he had to wait? Leda she'en a sris. He had to wait so we can rule out him being a sris. If he's not a Sris, so then there's a mitzvah. If there's a mitzvah, so then there's no problem to do the Yibum. So if it's Zokhtin Ebihudo, we go Basar Raif, become Oka Penyamas, but maybe you will die. So Zok the Noid Yehuda, only over here you have to be chayish, because he was a katan and there's a small chance that he's still a sris. But lo yitzur, he would have been 15 years old. Avada, no problem. Yehuda would have allowed Sheila to do Yibam. No chash of katlan. Ah, good, good, good. We're going to get to that. Very good, very good. We're going to talk about that. There's always a mitzvah. Every case, every bris is a mitzvah, right? Remember we said we don't give the baby? What do you mean by it's a mitzvah? Good, we'll talk about it. So the sefer over here, Nachlas Tzvi. Michael, who wrote Nachlas Tzvi?
Nachlas Tzvi,
there
wasn't Reb Tzvi
Kershalevsky, isn't no. it? It was written by Reb Tzvi Ephraim Klein.
Who's Reb Tzvi Ephraim Klein? Got me, don't know.
Rabbi Klein is a Rebbe in Tomo, Torah's Moshe. We went to the same...
Oh, that Rebbe? Interesting. Yeah, okay, I happen to know of him.
We went to the same yeshiva. He learned in Shara Torah many years before me, but we learned in the same yeshiva. I was reading a sefer. He has a very glowing haskama from my Rebbe and from my Rebbe's father, from Reb Zelig. So he was in Shara Torah for I don't know how many years, but he definitely learned in the yeshiva. Then he went to Neisrael, and now I think he's still a Rebbe in Tomo, last I heard. So he actually has a very nice sefer.
Even if he's not a Swiss, he could still be sterile. In other words,
but we're not chayish left. There's no reason to be chayish for it. But again, the only reason we're chayish is only because he's a katan. By a katan, we're more chayish than by a gadol.
I understand, but the fact statistically, there are probably more people that are perfectly, you know, give all the simanim and everything like that, but they can't father children. Whereas being a Swiss is a very small percentage. So you don't resolve that suffix by the fact that he brought two simanim and he's now 13 years old. And so what? He still might be, unless he married someone else and fathered children.
Okay, good, good, good. Hold off. We'll try to be mad with that in a second. Okay, so this Rabbi Klein wrote this Swarm called Nachat Tzvi. If you want to learn Chumash Vilamdus, right, that's what Rabbi Asher Weiss has. And in Milchas Asher, he has like Chumash Vilamdus. So this Rabbi Klein also did that. His sefer is called Nachat Tzvi. It's on all, I believe it's on all Chamisha Chumash Torah. He basically goes through sugyas on the Parsha. Like yeshiva guys very often have to give chaburas on like Lumdus in the Parsha. So his Swarm are very geschmack for that purpose. So he writes like this. He quotes back to our Rambam that we had earlier. We had a Rambam where the Rambam said that if you have a case of Yibum, you're allowed to do even if it's a katlanus. So he quotes from Rav Chaim, quoted by the Brisker Rav in Stencil. And he writes like this, Ulefid divihai Rambam bira grach. Based on this Rambam, Rav Chaim says, Gevaldik yisoyt. Masha oma Yehuda l'tomer shvi almano beis avichad, yigdal shele benik, yomar pen yomus, gamu kachiv. What did the Torah tell us? That Yehuda told Tomer, I want Sheila to wait until he gets older. Vikshar gagayin Rav Chaim, frek Rav Chaim, ma yoyil im yagdil, what does it help to get older? The gabi achshash, the pen yomus, gamu kachiv. Frektib Chaim, I don't get it. If the chash is that she's a katlonis, what does it gain to wait till he's 15? Then she won't kill him? So according to the Ramban, the waiting was not because of katlonis. The waiting was because he was afraid that Sheila needed to improve his character. According to the Noidib Yehuda, what was the chap of waiting? Waiting was to rule out Swiss. Zoktib Chaim, a teretz like this. Matiritz, the afshad didn't be yovim katon to the gadlenu. Or yigdulu ze imze. Mikomokim kiyim mitzvah sibim ein bekatan. Zotib Chaim, there's no fulfillment of the actual mitzvah if you're miyabim when the man's a katan. V'rak nischadesh techal ha'ibam. Zotib Chaim, the yibam is chal, they're married, but there's no kima mitzvah. Which is very strange. Why? Because then they're living in sin, l'chayra. The whole reason why they're allowed to live together is because of the mitzvah of yibam. Other than that, she's eshesach. But okay, not for us. So Zotib Chaim... Zoktib Chaim, you know what Yehuda was thinking? Yehuda was thinking like this. If I give Sheila to Tomer when he's a katan, there's no kima mitzvah. So there's no kima mitzvah, I can't do it. Zoktib Chaim, the cheshbon was the following. Calls man that he's a katan, there's no mitzvah. If there's no mitzvah, you can't say mitzvah is going to protect. So I had to wait till he became 13. Then there's a mitzvah, then the mitzvah protects. That's the way he wants. That's the way Reb Chaim says it. Now, the truth
is Minchas Chinuch who makes that distinction between the kinyan of Yibam and the mitzvah of Yibam.
Uh-huh.
The Mishnah in Yivamas it says these that the Yivamas nicknames being Baones, being Baratzon,
right.
So Minchas points out, yeah, the woman is koneh, but they don't necessarily mitzvah.
Right, right.
This idea.
That's as far over here.
Kinyan for the mitzvah.
Is it an ongoing mitzvah? Now, does the mitzvah
happen
once, and was that an ongoing mitzvah?
I'm not sure. It's last week's parasha. I don't know if it's a one-time mitzvah or it's as long as you're married. Not sure. But I with all again, I don't know why Reb Chaim needed to say this in the Rambam. The Rambam wasn't working with mitzvah. I don't believe the Rambam was working with the svar of Shomer Mitzvah Layeda Davara. The Rambam was working with the logic that he doesn't believe it's a chashash in the first place. I don't think you need this in the Rambam. Reb Chaim was saying that the Rambam Lashitasa the Gemara makes sense. I think on the Rambam it makes, I think without the Rambam Shtigl Torah makes sense, because the Rambam never bought into Katalonis being a real issue. The Rambam thought Katalonis is a nice chumra when there's nothing else against it. But if you have something pushing you, it'll be Mekel, so you have something pushing you. He wants to tie into that the way Reb Chaim understood the Rambam, that the only reason why we're Mekel is because Shema Mitzvah Le'eda Davara. I don't think that's true. I think according to the Rambam we're Mekel because we're Mekel. Because the Rambam never thought Katalonis was that big a deal in the first place. But anyways, it's a nice little Torah to explain why Yehuda waited till Shela grew up. Reb Asher Weiss, in Minchas Asher number 7 of Parshas Vayeshev, he also discusses this. And he says, one second, why don't we say the same thing by Bris Mila? We had a Gemara where the Gemara tells us that after two babies are born, the third baby can't get a Mila because it's dangerous. What happened to mitzvahs protecting us? What's the difference? So Dr. Reb Asher Weiss, Ube Emes Nira, Bashawais wants to say that this is a real, tangible, practical sakana. Babies dying due to blood is real. He writes, we have terms, terminologies on the books, things for this type of stuff. Says the Bashar Weiss, but if you go on the other Gemara by Katlonis, we can't really pinpoint what the medical thing is. By the Gemara about brother about Misa, we can put our finger on it and say, this family suffers from a condition called this. The Katlonis version is like, she has something in her body that's giving off infection. It's very hard to put your finger on it. So there was Dr. Bashar Weiss, v'loy midah minu l'uladot, we can't compare the two to each other. Except with regard to how much time creates a chazaka. But you can't compare the two. When we say Shema Mitzvah Le'eda Davara, that's when it's an unclear sakana. But if the sakana is smacking you in the face, right? The sakana is black and white. It's on the books. Pediatricians and doctors have seen it for 20 years. That you don't say Shema Mitzvah Le'eda Davara. That's Reb Asher Weiss's argument to perhaps be mechalik between Shema Mitzvah Le'eda Davara by Yibum, and why don't we say that by every single bris mila? Rabbi Klein in Nachlas Tzvi, he goes the other way. He says, one second. Frektim, why didn't the Neid Yehuda say like Reb Chaim? Why didn't the Neid Yehuda just say Kipshutai? That the reason why he had to wait to grow up was because when he was a kid, there's no mitzvah. And if there's no mitzvah, there's no protection. The Neid Yehuda's cheshbon was he has to grow up to prove us he's not a Swiss. Why didn't the Neid Yehuda just say like Reb Chaim? That if he's a katan, there's no mitzvah. So he wants the taina that maybe not. Maybe according to Rashi that a yobum is kind of bikatnos im kain shapi yesh kam mishum shem mitzvah leizavara. Sha'av b'yishen ha-kotem mikayim mitzvah avu oisik b'dover shemevi lidei mitzvah. He wants the taina, maybe a lom b'shem achloik is over here. Reb Chaim said that if a katan does yibum and there's no mitzvah, there's no shem mitzvah leizavara. Maybe the Neid Yehuda thought that ain't a chanami. There's no mitzvah right now, but the ma'aseh that I'm doing is setting me up for a mitzvah in 2 months. So maybe that's enough to say Shema Mitzvah Le'eda Davara. Okay, it's a nice svara. But he wants to know why the Neid Yehuda wouldn't just say like Reb Chaim? That if you're still a katan, then there's no mitzvah. So therefore he wants to tell you that maybe the Neid Yehuda held that even though right now he's a katan and there's no mitzvah b'katanusa, but since it's going to be kaina and it's something, so that's enough to say Shema Mitzvah Le'eda Davara, even though right now you don't have a mitzvah. Okay. If you look over in number 9, from the Sefer called Mayim Chayim, who wrote Mayim Chayim? Reb Chaim Kreisworth. Michael, I know you know who Reb Chaim Kreisworth was. Reb Chaim Kreisworth was a son-in-law by Reb Avraham Gudzinski. We spoke about him a couple times already. He was a brother-in-law to Reb Wolbe. To Shlomo of Wolbe, they were brother-in-laws. They married daughters from Reb Avraham Gudzinski.
He was also the Rebbe of our guest in March of 2017, Rebbe Beryl Wein.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Gevaldik. Terrific. So Reb Chaim Kreisworth was a godel in Eloy. So Reb Chaim Kreisworth was... Baba?
One of the chatanim of the Rebbe. His brother-in-law is Reb Kreisworth's son.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Oh, wow. Gevaldik. So he was a very, very big godel, Reb Chaim Kreisworth. He was a rabbi in Antwerp for many years, chief rabbi of Antwerp. So he's bothered with the same kasha.
By the way, Rabbi, I know you don't like stories, but you always put one about Gedolim. So there was a famous story that reminded me, I'll tell you, it's just too long, about Rav Chaim Kreiswer to show you his godliness.
Uh-huh. Okay,
but
very good.
That's not for now.
Okay, so if you look over here, number 9, he writes, he says, the same kasha. Why would you say some form of protection of a mitzvah by katlonis v'yibam and not by bris milah? So he writes this, Metaritz Rabbeinu v'omar, b'markim shemesu shnei ochav machmas milah chalila, harikra mikra pamayim shatinik meis machmas hamilah, deka mishpacha derafi dama, or mitzvahs milah lehog aleim. We see with our own eyes that this family, similar to Rabbi Shavais, we see from this family, babies die. Ilekach noitzra achshav ke'en chazaka afucha. You can't put this baby in harm's way to try to say maybe things changed. We were never in this situation yet. This is the first time she ever fell yibum. The first two were regular marriages. Now it's yibum. It's an under its situation. It's a new matzif. Zotim Chaim Kreiswerth, therefore, lekach also lakav came a mitzvah shem mitzvah le'edavara. He says he's breaking it down a little differently. He's saying, well, the first two were regular marriages. I married the mitzvah. It's a different level mitzvah. Masha Enkin over here, we saw Bifanenu. It's the exact same situation. Baby one, baby two, baby three, they're all the same. Masha Enkin over here, where we have a new matzif. We never had a matzif of Yibam before. Now, L'chayra, according to Chaim Kreiswer with Lomnes, what should come out? Let's say the first two were also Yibam. And that's Taka with the Chido has a Shaila. That's number 10 on the Ovi and the Ma'amar Kaimers. What happens if the first two were also Yibam? So Reb Zelberstein has a Shaila. Number 10, Isha Shenisis LeRuvain Umeis Ruvain V'Shimon Achiv Yivma. Marries Ruvain, Ruvain dies, so she does Yivim to Shimon. Umei Shimon Am Yabim, then the Yam Yabim dies. V'Ata Rotza Shalevi Yivma. Now they want to know Shalevi do Yivim. V'Ton Levi, any rights, I don't want to do it. Kivin Shikatlonis. Sheshnei Achi Meis Beglola, two already died. So here you have one Yivim, one regular. So he quotes from a Chidah. The Chidah writes, Shekivin shemutal yavim isha katlonis mishum shem mitzalei devarah, mutal yavim gam isha shen is amulam mishnei yivamin. That's the chare against Reb Chaim Kreiswerth is lomdus. The chidah says no. Shem mitzalei devarah, that's it. That beats out everything. So even if she did yivam twice and it didn't work, shem mitzvah. The chare Reb Chaim Kreiswerth would say, no, not so. In that case where it's exact same repetitive matzif, we don't say shem mitzvah leyed devarah. Just to finish off with one more issue on katlonis, Rabbi Shavitz calls.
Rabbi, it's up to Levi in that case anyway. He could just opt for the chalitza.
Yeah, that's the other issue. Can he do chalitza with makim yibam? That's more of a yivamish question. That's part and parcel of the discussion. I just want to show you one more ma'ar makim over here from Rabbi Shavitz. He quotes a fascinating tshuvas shoyel umeishiv. He writes this number all the way up in the middle of number 10 that says a chiddush atzum. The be'eretz yisrael ain't iser katlonis. There is no din katlonis in eretz yisrael. So he wants to say 1 second. The Shalom Meshach says no din katlonis in Eretz Yisrael. Aye, fret Rabbi Shavai, Yehud and Tamar in Eretz Yisrael. So part of what Rabbi Shavai talks about in Parashat the Yeshiv is how much can we sparais from things before Matan Torah? How much can we learn halacha l'maisa from things that took place before Matan Torah? But that's just a very fascinating Marim Makim. I love how Rabbi Shavai calls it a chiddush atzam. It definitely is. That in Eretz Yisrael there's no din katlonis. The old din of katlonis is only outside Eretz Yisrael. But back to our sugya for one last minute. This is from Kivega, which I mentioned that I got to get to today. Number 11. Let's go back to our sugya. What? Back to our sugya for 1 second. We had a Gemara by us that talked about a baby that had two brothers who died before him. So this is how we got involved in the whole sugya. We got involved with katlonis, we got involved in this and the other because of a baby who had two brothers who died before him. Zotim kivega, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, if you have a baby who two brothers died, the third baby doesn't get a bismillah. Zotim kivega. Let's say the parents don't listen to the doctor, they don't listen to the rabbis, and they give the baby a bris, and he survives. What happens to baby number 4? Was the chazaka uprooted? Or was this a fluke? Zotim kivega, efshed in his battle, ha chazaka kamaisa. Maybe. Zotim kivega, maybe. The chazak is uprooted, v'timol mikan laba, and now the rest of the babies can have regular bris milas. Okay, what's the problem? Frekti b'kveger, but it doesn't work like that by vestis. It doesn't work like that by sharamut. By a vest, in Hilchos Nida, we know that one time does not uproot a vest kavua. If a lady has a vest kavua, she needs to go 3 times without seeing on that specific day. Sharamut doesn't just become lose his status of a mu'ud because he goes 1 time without goring. He needs to go 3 times. So why over here is that different? So he quotes the loy dami levestus v'sharamud the hasam b'kivias vest Talia Milsa. Ad Kamoshid Maharit. So he's quoting a Maharit. The Maharit says, because those are different, because those are totally in the Kviyas vest. What do those words mean? So I saw over here, number 12, a certain sefer he wants to tie her. It depends how you learned our Gemara in the first place. If you learned that after 2 times it becomes a real chazaka, so then the chayre it should take, it shouldn't be broken after 1 time. But if you learn it's not really a chazaka, chazaka says that most babies survive bris milah, but this is just an extra chumra, misafik, this, that, and the other, so then maybe you don't need so much to uproot the chazaka. So that might be Pshat and Rebbe Kveger. It doesn't sound like the words of the Maharit. But this is a Gevaldik Echlish from Rebbe Kveger. Rebbe Kveger thinks you can uproot the Chazaka with 1 time. If it's a real Chazaka, if you hold that after 2 times it's a real Chazaka, why is it any different than the 3 times that you need 3 times to uproot it? Why should 1 time uproot it? The only way it perhaps to be Masburid is if you hold it's not a real Chazaka, it's a watered-down Chazaka, it's a Chazaka Misafik. So if you prove to me that the baby survived, so then maybe you can undo the Chazaka that way. But if you hold it's a real Chazaka, very schwer how to understand why it could be uprooted with only 1 time. Okay, Hadron Alon, the Sugya of